You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, we're talking with Jadranka Kosacic. She's calling from Hum in Croatia. Jadranka, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Hello, Brian.
First, I just want to ask you, where exactly is your town, Hum?
It's not my town, but it's the town I'm placed in for 18 days. It's the smallest town on Earth. And it's in between, so it's in Croatia, Istria, next to the border of Slovenia and Italy. And it
and
has
how small is the smallest town on Earth? What does that mean?
It's from the 11th century, so it's medieval. The houses still, and it has 27 inhabitants only.
27 inhabitants. That does sound like the smallest town on Earth. and why are you only there for 18 days? Why are you placed there?
I'm placed there now because I was looking for a small community which shares, you know, their time and life for a long time. And there were several places on the earth I was looking at, but this particular town has a history from the 11th century, and it has this tiny community. It, before the Croatian War, there was 90 people, now it's 27 left. And it has just two lines of houses, still medieval looking. The inside, of course, is sometimes changed to more contemporary. And I'm trying by drawing the people and interviewing them at the same time to find out what, you know, what makes their life here worth and how this community functions as a community, or does it function, or does everyone live their individual life, or, you know. Because usually I pick out strong personalities out of a crowd to give, to kind of create an image of a specific place or town. And here, it's the first time I'm really drawing everybody. Like, maybe you can compare this when you used to have, you know, this medieval castles, and the king would call someone in to draw, of course, only, you know, his kind. But I'm kind of drawing everyone. It doesn't depend on age or, you know, his status in this particular project.
So this is kind of a project, a kind of self-imposed residency almost. There's no other artist that you're coming here with. You're alone here for the 18
no.
days.
Yeah, I'm on my own, but I'm also supported by Unicult, it's from the University of Rijeka, a cultural program, which is again connected to Rijeka becoming 2020 the European cultural city. I don't know if you're okay.
I understand that, but so as a project, as an artist project, and wanting to do research and interact with this community, the university has supported this project.
They have connected me, yes, because I was looking for a small place anywhere, and I met someone through my own connections from this particular university program, and they proposed me this little town, which has officially the status being the smallest in the world, but that was not the main issue to choose it, but to have, you know, to choose a community which really exists for a long time together, and to find out what makes the people choose this place. It's, you know, it's up on the mountain, not high, but if you don't have a car, you are out of any usual civilization structure. And, you know, what makes you choose such a place, and do people still keep together, or, you know, how is life being in such a small community?
So I want to talk more about just that community and this, but before we talk about that, to step back and look at how you approach your art, what did you expect to happen when you were coming to this town? I mean, you were doing these drawings and doing research and investigating How will this result in an exhibition or a series of works? What would be the outcome of it is what I'm saying.
Oh, I see. So maybe I tell you first how I usually work. So I pick out people who kind of stand out of the crowd in a particular city, town, or whatever place. And then through there, so I don't just make a line drawing of the person or their portrait, but I also record the conversation we have during the first encounter. So this creates, again, you know, in a series of chosen people, an image of this place from different angles. And that's the same I'm doing here now, but it's, you know, focused on this little town and also on this, on the history, of course, of this town. It has this, so the old Croatian writing called Glagolica has also its spring or source. It's basically from here or from this area. And there are other historical things which, you know, happened in this town or around here. The stories I'm recording are people's biographies, but also connected to the history of the town. So it will not be a, you know, kind of touristic presentation of this place, but really show people who is still keeping this historical place alive, who is still living in this kind of medieval, you know, theatrical police or, yeah,
that's clear. Yeah, and I want to talk even more about that. I mean, to understand also how past projects as well as this one will be finally viewed by the public. There'll be audio, there'll be drawings, and there'll be writing. Is that the three mediums, or is there more?
Yeah, usually it's just recording and the portrait. So each portrait has audio you can listen on headphones. It's, of course, cut to a specific topic I want to focus on. But this time I'm thinking to make a little publishing or a book about this. And I will also, I'm writing a little diary about, you know, tiny little things which happen during the day. It's really very, very small, simple things you encounter living here because it's a very simple life.
And how many days have you lived there so far?
16.
16. And 16. How many more days will you be there?
I will be, I think, two or three more days here. And then I'm leaving back to Munich.
So that's exciting. And I'm so glad we got to talk while you're there. So tell me a little bit about then what you are learning. I mean, I have so many questions to ask, really. You know, how are they making a living, and are there children there, and what are the people like? But maybe rather than me asking all of those questions, and you can answer any of those, what are some of your observations already from this time? And perhaps you couldn't answer some of those questions, but what have you seen from these people, and what stands out to you? Because it seems like a remarkable situation to be in, and an extraordinary kind of micro community.
Yeah, it's a micro community. Well, I've encountered that the focus is on tourism. So from April to end of October, they, you know, because they have the status of being the smallest town on earth, they get buses with people coming in like 500, 600 a day. And that's like a huge amount. If you imagine, you can walk through, the city has two little streets with old stones, so it takes maybe 3 minutes to walk through this whole town. I've encountered that or experienced through the things they talk to me, through the conversations, that they, even though, you know, they don't keep live together like they used to because of the tourism is destroying what they used to share together. You know, there's not so many meetings anymore. There is, you know, there's a fight. It's kind of not obvious fight, but who gets more tourists, and you know, how do you attract tourists to get them in your apartment or in his or whatever, and or in this tour, there's like three little touristic stores, but still. On the other side, even though they don't spend so much time together day by day, when they need each other, it's very unusual still, I think, for our times that they all together help each other, for example, to pull out the potatoes of one family's field, or they get requests from a tourist agency sometimes, that a specific group wants to have this town, you know, completely dressed in medieval dresses. And then the little restaurant can't take everyone or can't, you know, can't cook that much. Then the whole town keeps together. So one person does the cakes, the other one prepares the schnapps. And I don't know, you know, that's very unusual in our, I think, egoistic times.
Yes, absolutely. Instead of everyone being, you know, which is typical in the Western world, and I suppose all over the world, this kind of, as you're saying, you know, ego of self and self-determination, though it sounds like part of that with all the tourism is entering in there, unfortunately. Is that what you're saying as well?
Yeah, this is what I think is destroying this. It's also destroying traditions, like, you know, these people here used to live from agriculture. For example, agriculture, and also, I don't know the American name, tartufo, or the mushroom which grows below the earth.
Oh, yeah, sure, mushrooms or beets or
The expenses.
Truffles.
Yeah,
right,
okay.
Truffles.
So here you have truffles, you know, in the woods. So they would sell this, or, you know, wild animals and hunting, what else? Yeah, very simple, you know, things based on nature. And now it's getting more artificial because, you know, if you focus on tourism, you don't have time and maybe passion so much to make your living out of agriculture. So, you know, the tradition fades away. Also, every family used to have cows. Now no one has cows anymore here. So
the economy has shifted to one based on tourism, even though there is still agriculture and truffles there.
Yeah, there's the truffles, and the families have like little fields now just for themselves, for their own livings. They have, you know, now for example, salads, or they have chickens or rabbits for, you know, their meals in cages. But there's only one person here, a woman, who goes to in the woods to get truffles. She has two dogs, and I accompanied her once. So I experienced how the dogs, they are not searching like in the old times you would search with pigs, but now it's dogs which are trained to find the truffles. So yeah, this is, you know, it still exists, but it's kind of fading because of people wanting to have probably a more convenient life which is then taking the source or the money from tourism.
And are there children there or young people? What is the age range there?
Yeah, so the youngest is 1.5 years, and the oldest one is 76. So there's four babies or four little children which are in between 1.5 and 2, so they got even in the papers, you know, the expression baby boom, because in comparison to the inhabitants, this is of course a high population increase.
That's right. Yeah, of course. And is there a school there, or they're taught by the parents? How is education managed there?
Oh, I see. In former times, there used to be even two existing schools. Now they're closed. So the children are taken to a kindergarten about 15 minutes drive away. And there's also a school. Now they use the... So in one former school, there's a museum, tourism shop, and then the other, it's just, you know, apartments now. Because it's too little, the amount is too small to probably have a school running.
Right. And so of all the things that's happened there, because it's, you know, you're almost about to leave, what's affected you most? Is there a story that someone told or an experience you had there that was particularly affecting or memorable to you?
I don't think it's any story, really. It's more the appreciation of, you know, daily little things, which is also fading in our civilization, I think, where everything is very fast. And here things are pretty slow. People stand up at 9, 10, and they focus on basically their meals in winter time, you know, what are the ingredients and what they're going to cook, and just little, you know, human things to have time for your child, which is, you know, in the Western civilization getting or the time we invest, I think, or have left for children is much less than these people here have.
And so compared to Munich, where you will be shortly, is there something that you're going to miss in particular about being here? I mean, it sounds, yeah, like a richer life, attention to food, attention to, you know, perhaps conversation and a more intimate life. But when you get back to Munich, do you think there's going to be something in particular that you miss or would want to have more in your life?
I think the peace you have here, you know, your own rhythm you create, this is something I might miss because you're, of course, when I return, I have, you know, things I have to take care of. I'm influenced, like everyone, from the structure outside me. We're here, you know, there is just silence and the woods nearby and wild pigs, which even come at night in front of your door. So... it's kind of back in times, even though the structure here is just a historical one, but somehow it seems to be a bit back in time.
It does, and it also seems to be a moment that's where things are right on the cusp of modernization in a mm-hmm. way that's you know, that doesn't seem to be so good. You know, the notion of less peace or less time with your children or taking less care with the meals you eat. Before we go, what is the experience of you think how they've received you? I mean, there's how you're perceiving them and will write about them and reflect on them. But how do you think they've received you? How has that relationship been, do you think, from that perspective?
Well, at the beginning, of course, they were a bit suspicious. People in this particular area of Croatia are a bit more stiffer than on the seaside. But then I got kind of accepted and, they even ask when they go shopping if they should take something from me. I have no car. Or they invite me for dinner, or, you know, I kind of became part of this community in a very little time.
And where do you stay? What is your house like there? What is your apartment?
It's an apartment that looks... So the outside structure is medieval and the inside is IKEA-like.
And it's your own apartment, or you're sharing it?
It's my own, but it's so it's support. The whole project is also supported by the, I think you would say, some kind of tourist agency for Croatia. You know, tourist representation of Croatia. So they covered the cost of this place where I'm based.
Well, that sounds wonderful. So before I ask you the last question, of you've done many projects before this, of course. How does this one feel in contrast to the other work you've done, which is similar in tone, but all the work you've done, how does this feel in comparison to that?
It's a bit harder for me because, as I said before, I'm looking for very individual people. And in this town, the majority of people is from one family, and they seem to be quite equal in, you know, in a particular way. And I have to look maybe a bit harder to find a difference in between them. Then, you know, it's if you choose very individual people from different backgrounds, it's a different thing than to have one source where you have to differentiate probably be much more in between these little amount.
And so in the years that people have been there, you said it's mostly one family.
It's not one family. It's, let me wait, it's seven, I think, seven or eight different families. But one of them has eight members. It's quite strong compared to this little amount of people.
And it's a total of 27 people, you said, is that correct?
Yeah, that's a total number of this place.
And when will this be exhibited? I mean, on this interview, there'll be links to your website and other things. Is there a way for people to find out more about this or an exhibition that will take place that people can come to?
Yeah, of course. There might be a presentation in January already in the Croatian embassy, but I will show this project for sure in Munich. I'm not sure if this will happen next year already, but 2020 in Rijeka. But my goal was to take this little community and to show it in really huge cities like New York is, or Shanghai or whatever. Because now I can tell you maybe a joke. So the former mayor of this town got a request from New York when he was mayor, and they wanted to connect as a partner town. And he was telling them, so he's from a, you know, farmer background. So he was saying, well, our city can fit in one airplane, but New York can't, so we are not going to connect with you.
You mean that's funny. So New York, New York City wanted to kind of create that, what they call like a sister city relationship.
Yeah. And Shanghai also requested them somehow. So this is still in process.
And they continue to turn down cities for these requests.
Well, this person, I think he wasn't even aware what he turned down. But because when he was telling me this on my recording, he was saying the biggest town in the States. What is it again? I'm not sure. And I was saying, it's New York, isn't it? He said, I'm not sure. So I think he wasn't... it's not important to him, or, you know.
Well, would there be any benefit to the town from being a sister city to New York other than more tourism on buses?
I don't know if there would be a benefit. I would say the people who are interested in connecting would also like to visit, you know. That
right.
would be maybe the benefit, that there would be some kind of exchange, not just by more tourism coming in.
Well, yeah, Drinka, it's wonderful talking to you. But before we go, I want to ask you the question I always ask at the end. What books are you reading now, or anything at all that you're reading?
I'm reading just one book I took with me to this place, home. It's called Dreams of Spaces, from a French writer called Georges Perec. It's about, you know, what makes a place, but how spaces are defined and how we use them.
Yeah, Drinka, I want to thank you for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure to talk to you, especially calling from your town. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.